Welcome in, everybody. We do it every week here on 710 ESPN Seattle. It's time to get in the cage, and it is a pleasure to bring back to the program. It's been quite a while since I've had a chance to talk to this guy, and since we last spoke, he's collected two belts. He's the light heavyweight champion of the world, and he's now the heavyweight champion of the world. And it's a pleasure to speak with him, as always. He's with us on the Venue Kings Hotline. I'm talking about DC, Daniel Cormier here. Daniel, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you again, and I got to tell you, I was a little worried. I saw your tweet that said, I've legitimately done 13 hours of media in 2 days, and I'm exhausted. I'm thinking, okay, we're scheduled to speak with him. He's gonna tap out. Daniel's gonna tap out and say I can't do it. But I appreciate you being here, man.
No, man, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I've done a lot. It's just when you're doing with the media, you know, you gotta be on. You gotta be on. So sometimes it gets tough when it's back to back, but it's okay.
Well, and
I'm good.
You know what, man? And you come from such a different perspective because you're an analyst. I mean, you're almost a full-time analyst as well as a fighter, so you get to see both sides of it. And you're counting down. I can't believe we're looking at the end of your career here. You talk about two more fights, and you've been steadfast in saying it's going to be two more, and it's going to be this one, and who knows what the second one will be. But talk to me about this fight, Daniel, because I don't think anybody expected to see, first of all, Derek Lewis get back into the cage so quickly after his last fight, and you getting back in the cage after you damaged your hand in your previous fight. So what was it? You've talked about money. Is it just as simple as they made me an offer I couldn't refuse?
No, man. It was an offer, you know, that you can't refuse, but also just the history of headlining the Garden. I mean, that's a big deal. You know, historical things mean a lot to me, and this is one of those things that has always kind of been a dream, and for it to become a reality was awesome. I just did not think that it would work in the timeline. But when they offered me the fight, I went to work, started punching, and when my hand felt great, I was like, okay, I can do this.
And you've been very honest in talking about, you know what, if this were a rematch against Stipe, I wouldn't do it. If it were another opponent, I wouldn't do it. Because it's Derek Lewis, I'm going to do it. And I think the way you put it came across as respectful as possible, at the same time acknowledging you're facing a guy who's a pretty limited fighter. If he doesn't club you with that big, giant shot, in my opinion, he's really got no chance against you. And it feels like that's sort of how you see it.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Derek, you know, in any way, shape, or form, but I think that I just think that when you're a guy that wins every fight by knockout, you know, and it seems like there's a clear path to beating you. Just don't get knocked out. And, you know, that's how I've viewed this fight. You know, if I don't get knocked out, I feel I win this fight. So I feel good about it.
You know, Daniel, I feel like it's, listen, you're talking 4-ounce gloves. You're talking guys well over 200 pounds. If he connects, he's going to hurt you. If you connect, you're going to hurt him. Having said that, I just feel like you're too smart to get sucked into a slugfest with this guy, because that's his only shot. And he's not a guy that throws quick combinations or sets you up with a jab or great footwork or great lateral movement. He's just swinging big, giant haymakers, and you know it's coming. You see it coming. It feels like, unless your ego gets the best of you and you say, you know what, I'm going to show this guy that I can trade with him, that he doesn't have a chance in this fight. Am I being too simple about it?
I think you're not giving him enough credit, in a sense that he does a little bit more than just throw the big punch, right? He's a guy that throws kicks. He's a guy that will pressure you and try to put you against the fence to earn those knockouts. So I think there's a little bit more to him than that, but I do feel that in terms of the guys that I've been in there with, there's a little bit of a difference in terms of all-around skill. Yeah, all-around skill.
Hey, as far as you physically, give me the difference. I mean, I watched you fight heavyweight at Strikeforce. I watched you fight light heavyweight here in the UFC and now heavyweight. You look like you feel better, and that's just me looking from the outside. But just in terms of your physicality, I don't know if your stamina, you know, the cut for everybody, no matter what division they're in, is tough. People hate cutting weight. How much different do you feel in that cage at heavyweight versus light heavyweight? Do you feel better? Do you feel more energetic?
I feel a ton of energy. I mean, I deplete myself so thoroughly to get to 205 that not having to do that, it's insane. You know, I feel so much fresher. I feel so much better when I fight at heavyweight.
You know, something, you know, I had a chance to speak with you before about, and that's sort of the fan reaction to you. And I could never understand why there seemed to be a reluctance in the fan base to sort of embrace you. And I know the heat between you and Jones, that divides a lot of people. But it feels like you turned the corner with this win over Stipe. And I don't know if you if you feel the same thing, but it just feels like that opened a door, that the fan base said, man, we love this guy. He's a good dude. He does it. For whatever reason, whatever they were missing prior to the Stipe fight, seems like they found it now. Do you feel like there's a difference in the way you're perceived by the fan base?
I do. I feel like people just appreciate what I've done. You know, I've worked so hard for so long to try to put myself at the top of the sport, and I think people now can appreciate the way that I've done it. You know, the right way, working just through hard work, commitment and dedication, and finally becoming the double champion. It's like it's almost like, wow, you know, regardless of everything, regardless of the good, the bad, the guy getting beat and crying, to everything else, this dude has finally accomplished everything that he set out to do. And at people's core, they're still good. And that's why I think you saw people kind of happy about it.
I think it's kind of a shame, Daniel, because you are a good – I don't pretend to know you. I've talked to you a number of times, but you've always been very gracious and cordial, and you've done things the right way. I think it's a shame that it kind of happened at the end of your career, right? We're talking about your final two fights, and, you know, it took up until your last fight for people to really kind of open up to you for whatever reason. But, you know, it doesn't sound like you've got a problem with that at all, that you kind of take it in stride and keep moving along. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, because what else are you going to do? You know, it's all just kind of wasted energy to try to fight deception. You know, you just can be who you are, and hopefully people will enjoy you for who you are. If they don't, then there's not really much you can do. You know, all I can do is try to just be me. And that's what I've done through this whole thing, through the good, through the bad. I've just tried to stay true to who I am and my core values, and that's what I think people are starting to see now.
Now, Daniel, you know the history of the fight game, whether it's MMA, whether it's boxing. We hear fighters every day say, that's it, I'm done, I'm cashing it in, it's over for me. And then lo and behold, whether it's a month down the road or a year down the road, we see him back in the cage or back in the ring. And I was having this debate with a friend of mine who's a big fan of MMA, and he said, you know what, DC will come out of retirement for the right amount of money for the right opponent. And I kept saying, you know what, man, I feel like he's a little different. I feel like he's really committed and just black and white about, I've got two fights, whether it's going to be Brock, whether it's going to be Jones, doesn't matter. When that's done, it's done. Do you feel that? Is there some wiggle room with you on that? Or do you feel like once I've achieved that, once I've reached my deadline that I've set for myself, that is it and there's nothing bringing me back?
There are a lot of people that feel that. There are a lot of people that say that to me. But I just think the majority of it is all these guys that you see come back, they come back for a variety of reasons. One is to make more money. But I think a lot of things is these people aren't aware of the things that I have outside of the octagon, the things that I am doing to further my broadcasting career. The opportunities that we have outside of the cage are tremendous. You know, I've made a lot of money fighting, but this next career may even provide more financial stability than I've ever had.
Well, and you, if we're talking analyst, you can do it forever, and you're not taking punches, and you don't have to cut weight. It's beautiful. So it's perfect. And let me ask.
Cushy job.
Yeah, let me, before we let you go, I got to ask you one analyst question here. You know, put on your analyst hat. Your thoughts on an actual trade being made in the sport of MMA? It's a weird thing. And Demetrius is one of my all-time favorite fighters. I hate that he's leaving the UFC. I hate that he wasn't more popular or that he wasn't a bigger draw on pay-per-view. So business-wise, I guess I understand, but What do you think of that trade, Demetrius for Ben Askren?
I think it's a great trade. I don't think we can really see who won the trade just yet. But we'll see once Askren gets into the UFC. Once we get to the UFC and see how it goes. But it just opens up a whole new realm of possibility for the sport with people being able to be traded from organization to organization. I don't know if this is a one-time thing or if this is something that's going to become part of the norm, but I think it's a big and a huge day for mixed martial arts.
DC, it's always fun to talk to you, man. I really appreciate you joining us. I know you got a lot on your plate, a lot before this fight. UFC 230 coming up, Cormier versus Lewis. I wish you nothing but the best, my friend. You're one of the class guys in the sport, and again, congratulations on a brilliant career, and hopefully we get a chance to talk to you before your final fight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.